Good morning again to all of you, and I have to say a happy, happy, blessed Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. Now, you are a father whether you think so or not, right? Even if you haven't been fortunate or unfortunate, as the case may be, to to have offspring of your own. You have something in you that others can look up to. You have nephews. You have kids that don't have fathers that are looking for a father figure. So it's a privilege and a blessing this morning, and I want to say thank you and happy, happy Father's Day to all of us, since I'm one of them. We have a word from the Lord today, and the subject is a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time this morning that you've given us. We thank you for your word. And I just pray a blessing upon this time, a special blessing, Lord. May our hearts be prepared for what you have for us, Lord. I pray your word will go forth with power and with anointing this morning, and that our hearts may be fertile soil, that your word will not only fall on that soil, but germinate and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's from the New King James Version. I kind of like the King James a little bit better when it says, instead of his own special people, it uses the term a peculiar people. You know, there was a time when when Christians used to be peculiar people, where we stood out because we didn't conform and didn't hang out and didn't look like the rest of the people around us. Just put your mind back to the biblical time in the New Testament, even going back to the Old Testament. During the journeys of the children of Israel, they journeyed through all these lands, but God had always told them to remain separate. Don't marry them. Don't mingle. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? Because we're supposed to be a set aside people for the God that we serve. Amen. And coming to the New Testament, we know that when Jesus came on the scene, he turned the whole system upside down. And then we were really the chosen and special and peculiar people. Fast forward to today, things have been turned upside down again. And it's harder and harder nowadays to stand out and be counted as one of his. But we're going to look at several points this morning. And the next scripture is Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Before the law came into being, before the dispensation of the law, right, the father or family head of every family was the family priest. The father was the family priest. We go back to the beginning of creation when God created Adam and Eve. He fellowshipped with them one-on-one. Right? Because at that time, it was the age of innocence. They had not yet sinned and broken that fellowship. Well, once that fellowship was broken, there was no direct contact anymore with God, and therefore there had to be an intermediary. So we see here the verse that we read, that had been right after God had destroyed the earth, killed everyone by the flood except Noah and his family. Eight of them survived. And so we see that Noah took the initiative as the head and the family priest to build an altar and worship the Lord. Genesis chapter 26 and 25. And here it's talking about Isaac. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. So the father had the very important duty and office to come before the Lord on behalf of the family, on behalf of himself and his family. He became the bridge, so to speak, between the God and the people. Amen? What happened later? People became restless and decided they didn't like the way things were going, and they demanded something different. So God brought the laws. In the dispensation of the law, God's desire was that Israel should be to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So now we're going away from the Father only to everyone being a kingdom, the whole nation being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. However, Israel again sinned and disobeyed the law of God. And because of that, God restricted the priestly office to only the family of Aaron and threw him to the whole tribe of Levi. The Levites were then appointed to be priests to minister to the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. This is God giving Moses the words to speak to the nation of Israel. So we see that was his desire. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So we had the first dispensation, and now in the dispensation of the law, that God had desired that everyone, the whole nation, should be set aside and a holy nation and a kingdom of priests to him. But again, we failed. And therefore, the priestly office was restricted to the tribe of Levi. Fast forward to the New Testament, to the church dispensation. All Christians are designated as kings and priests. Listen, while the nation of Israel failed to achieve this distinction by the words of the law, all believers in Jesus Christ can now achieve it by grace. Just as every descendant of Aaron was born into the priesthood, every born-again believer today is born to be a priest and king according to the word of God. And let's look in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that once and for all bridged that chasm that had been created by the sins that we have committed. Jesus came as a supreme sacrifice and gave the revelation to John, said, he has made us where we couldn't do it before under the law. He has again made a way for us to accomplish God's plan and purpose in the age of grace. So it's once more possible for us to come boldly before his throne without an intermediary because of what he's done. Let's dig a little deeper into this. Hebrews chapter 9. It's a pretty long passage, but I think it kind of summarizes what we're trying to get at. Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 12. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Verse 10. Concerned only with food and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. All the things that the sacrifices and the priestly duties of the Old Testament were but a shadow of things to come. So where the priest had to sacrifice not only for himself, but on behalf of the people, they had all kinds of ceremonies, but once a year, the priest entered the Holy of Holies. Only once a year could he approach that place. And guess what? They had to tie a rope on his leg, because if the sacrifices that he had made were not adequate and he entered that place, he had to be dragged out because he dropped dead. But the scripture tells us that when Jesus came, once and for all, he made a perfect, not only the perfect, his body was the perfect tabernacle, but he made the perfect sacrifice. And that's why today we no longer have to make the yearly sacrifice of the sheep and goats and doves and all the blood sacrifices that went on in the Old Testament. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, with his own blood, verse 12 says, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. It's already done, brethren. Let's stop trying to do it again on our own. Jesus is our supreme sacrifice. When Christ gave his life for us, the veil of the temple was torn. Now get this. The veil is a type of Christ's body. Because guess what? The scripture tells us his body was what? Broken on our behalf. And by his death and the breaking of his body, he bridged the gap that had been caused between us and the Father. And I can just hear those words from old John in Reflections. Nevermore shall mankind need a priest. From now on, every man will be his own priest. Yes, he breached the gap. So with the veil being torn, all believer priests now have access, direct access to the Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not because of the good in us. Not because we've tried to obey all the laws and all the rules. Not because we think we're doing everything right. But because of what our great high priest has already done and finished it once and for all. When he said on the cross, it is finished, he meant that the work of redemption, of bringing mankind back into intimate fellowship with his Father, had been accomplished. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. You see, when the veil was there, there was no way to enter. But once that veil was torn, we now had a path. We now had a way. We now had the ability to approach our awesome God. And guess what? We don't need to wait for a specific date or once a year. That'll be terrible. If you had a father, you could only approach once a year. As fathers, we want to communicate, we want to hang out, we want to talk to, deal with, be around our kids. Yeah, even the ones that are not perfect. We still love them, right? I know none of you have kids that are not perfect, but they're out there somewhere. Yeah, we love them. We want nothing but what's best for them. And we're so limited. Can you imagine the love that God has for us if we're capable of loving our kids in spite of stuff that they do? You don't have teenagers yet, so I see that look on your face. But God's love for us is infinite. The scripture said our minds can't even comprehend it. But he's given us a glimpse by what he did by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Amen. So, following the supreme example of Jesus Christ, who we've seen has shown us the way as our supreme high priest, the New Testament believer priest is called upon to be two things: a sacrificer and an intercessor. Because we see in the life of Jesus, he accomplished both of these. A sacrificer and an intercessor. So what do we need to sacrifice? One, sacrificer of his own living body. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our own bodies, the scripture isn't talking about going and laying across a railroad track and letting the train ride over you. That's not what it's talking about. What did Jesus do during his ministry on earth? Well, he paid the ultimate price, right? But we are called upon to make sacrifices on behalf of those we serve. How many of you know that the believer priest is a servant, first of all? Because that's the example Jesus gave us. So sometimes we have to let go of what we want to do or what makes us feel good or what brings pleasure to us to minister to the needs of others by putting ourselves in positions where we can be helpful. Amen? Jesus was our supreme example. John chapter 3 and verse 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Straight from the word of God. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, because Jesus has already done the same for us, and we're called to be his disciples and his followers. Amen. So sacrifice of his own living body. The next sacrifice we call upon is a sacrifice of giving praise to the Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We call upon to praise him when things are good. We call upon to praise him when things are not so good. We call upon to be an example to lead our families, our congregations, our wherever our sphere of influence is, to show that praise is comely in the eyes of the Lord. No matter how we feel personally, no matter what may be getting us down, we're still obligated to praise our Lord. And that's why the scripture commands us to praise him. Said, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's downright tough. But guess what? When you're a believer priest, that is our function and that is our duty. Because guess what? Others are looking at us. Whether we believe it or not. I was just sharing with somebody this week. And I was telling them, I've been having a kind of a rough week. It's been long hours and a tough time. I said, well, what's going on? And I said, well, you know, one of my greatest tasks that I've been tasked with this week has been actually preparing to be laid off. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, we get money from the legislature and because they haven't been able to do their business. Come June 30th, well, before June 30th, we will be getting letters informing us of being temporarily laid off until they come up with money. But in spite of that, I'm a manager and I have staff that work with me. So even though we're all going through the same thing, I just got to remain positive. Because they know me, they know all my staff know that I'm a believer. And I can't be walking around with a sour face, oh poor me. No. So in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the conditions that we find ourselves, we know that God is in control and that he's able to take us through any circumstances. So we lift up our voices and we praise him anyway. Amen. We praise him in the morning. We praise him at noontime. We praise him in the night. We praise him in the light. We praise him in the darkness. We praise him when we're up. We praise him when we're down. Because he's still God. The song says the God of the mountains is still God in the valleys. Right? Amen. What else are we called to sacrifice? We're called to sacrifice our substance. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Meeting the needs of those around us, whether it's financial needs, whether it's just a kind word, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's, hey, come and let's hang out, let's go have coffee and talk. But just being sensitive to the needs of those around us and having the desire to do all that's within our power to meet those needs. Yeah, we may not be able to solve world hunger, but we can provide one meal for somebody who's hungry. That's what we're called to do. So we need to sacrifice our bodies, sacrifice, give the sacrifice of praise, sacrifice our substance, and the last sacrifice we need is to sacrifice our service. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now we know that doing good does not save us. But the scripture says that God is well pleased once we do get saved, that we do good and do it according to his good will and pleasure. Amen? A sacrifice of our service. We're called to be servants, not masters. And that's why when Jesus came, the Jews were looking for a king. They were looking for somebody to come and rule. And they said, who's this guy that come and washing people's feet and mingling with the prostitutes and all this crazy stuff? And Jesus said, those that will want to be first have to be last, right? And it sounds crazy. But we're called to be servants. To serve others, to minister to the needs of others over our own need. And that doesn't mean we don't have needs. But if we spend all our time and we live in a society that is all about me, I, and myself. And once maybe when I have all my needs met, then I might think about somebody else. Well, guess what? That ain't going to happen. Because the more we get, the more we want, right? We have to have a heart of service if we're to fulfill the plan of God to be priests and kings according to his will and his plan for our lives. Sacrifice of service. So there were two things. One was a sacrificer, and the other is an intercessor. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses, and I think I might have given you only one verse here, but I'll read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings who are in authority, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Plain and simple. I exhort that all supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks. Jesus was our example, and he exhibited all of these. He prayed for the disciples. Right? And the scripture said that even now he is at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. Giving thanks for all men. For those that are in authority, guess what? When you pray for those that are in authority, the scripture says so that we pray for them, but it benefits us, right? It says so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for those around us. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our bosses. Don't go backbite them and complain about them.
Pray for them. I've told several people to pray for you, David.
About work. No, I'm just kidding. But we need to pray for those around us. Pray for our bosses. Pray for the president. Pray for the governor. Pray for those that are in authority. That they will not look onto their own wisdom, but that they will seek the wisdom of God. Because then our own lives will be impacted and we will be able to live according to the dictates of our conscience. So we call upon to be sacrificers and we call upon to be intercessors. It's not optional, brethren. It's not if we feel like. It's not when we get old and retire. No, it's now if we bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not optional. We have to wake up. We have to get up, get on our knees, pray, share, sacrifice, intercede for our families. Intercede for our children and grandchildren. And siblings and the whole family and even our church family. Yeah, sometimes you're in prayer. I know it happens to me. I'm sure it happens to the rest of you. You're in prayer and the Holy Spirit just flashes a person or persons into your spirit and you know right away. You pray for them. You don't know what's going on. You just pray. God knows. Amen. All we have is questions. He has all the answers. The worship team, please come up. So what do we need to do? In order to function this new dispensation as a king and priest, we must first of all have a connection with the giver of the command or the giver of the office. You see, if we try to do it without that connection, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. See, if I had a lamp here, it's perfectly fine. But if I did not plug it in and I tried to switch it on, what would happen? Nothing. It would not come on. It would remain dark. But as soon as I plug it into the outlet where the electricity is flowing, as soon as I flip that switch, it comes on. Let's stop trying to do it in our own strength. Let's stop trying to play the part. Let's stop trying to pretend that we are what we're not. We have to first of all have a connection to God. And the only way to have that connection to God is to accept the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave and he prepared the way for us. But guess what? We have to do something. We have to accept it. The scripture said we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. That's the only way to have that connection. That's the only way that we can function in that office. And fathers, I just want to say out to you today that our responsibility is a big one. If you grew up in a home
with a father who did not know the Lord as Savior, who did not serve God. Not all fathers who are not Christians are terrible fathers. Some are, and some who call themselves Christians are also terrible fathers. But if you live in a home with a father who professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have something that is worth cherishing. Honor your father. Thank him every day. Encourage him. Pray for him. Fathers, pray for your children and your families. Lift them up every single day before the Lord, that they will walk in his footsteps, that they will serve him and love him all the days of their lives. Because that is his desire for us. And nothing brings God more pleasure than his children walking in his way. And the fathers have a very important role to play in that. Thank you. I hope you sang that song with conviction this morning. Because you know it's a fearful thing to not have an assurance that you are a child of God. Amen. That if something were to happen and your life were to end today, whether you have a hope of spending eternity with our Savior. If you're here this morning, you've never made a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we don't want you to leave here the same way you came. We don't want you to leave here the same way you came. We want you to make that most important decision you could ever make in your life before we leave. Just find me or any of the leadership, any of the people up there, and we will be happy to talk to you after we close. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances, Lord. And Father, we come before you just as we are this morning. Your word says that we can boldly approach your throne of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy, Father. And we just lift up, especially this morning, all the fathers in the house this morning. We pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray for direction. Because, Lord, we can only lead as you direct us, O God. And we turn to you for direction. We turn to you, Lord, as a leader. You, the leader of our homes and our families, Father. And, Lord, I pray that you just give us a deeper revelation of who you are, Lord. And, Father, where we've turned off your path, oh, today may we make an about face, Lord. May we turn around onto your path, onto your way, which is the only true and correct way, Lord. Father, we lift up everyone that may be sick in body this morning. You're still in the healing business, oh God, and we just pray a touch from you upon them this morning. Every pain, every sickness, Lord, we speak healing in those bodies this morning in Jesus' name. Father, everyone that came in here with a heavy load this morning, a heavy burden, your word says that we should cast all our cares upon you. And we just lay them at the feet of the cross this morning. Every heavy weight, Lord, we give to you this morning. May we leave here assured that you are taking care, that you have our backs, O God. And Lord, we commit the coming week to you, Lord.
that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that you will protect us and our families, Lord, and even those that are not here this morning that may be camping or doing other things, Lord, we know wherever they are, you are present with them, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Carry us. Keep us. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.